Hey, what's going on, everyone? It is Brian, and welcome back to another episode of the podcast. So, there's an elephant in the room. I've promised to do these weekly episodes, and I haven't been living up to my end of the bargain. But there's a reason why. So there's been a lot of kind of moving parts, both personally and business-wise and soul-searching and everything that I've been doing. And I think I'm the type of person who definitely ruthlessly prioritizes and writes down a to-do list in the morning or even weekly and monthly and sets the expectation or sets the priorities of what I would like to accomplish. And unfortunately, you know, chips on the table, I have, well, the podcast has come number 4 or number 5. And I think, you know, I don't necessarily want to apologize for it because it may happen again. I think it's just the way that life rolls, and that's awesome. I think that to have other things that needed my attention is just a way of life, and I think that it will happen to other people as well. And I know that you guys will forgive me, which is deadly. So then I started to really deconstruct this podcast and what it means to me and what it's about. I recently have new clients or just random amazing people that I meet, and some of them have told me that they listen to the podcast, and some of them have told me that they listen to more than 2 or 3 episodes. And I just think that that's extremely humbling, I would say, is the best way to put it. It's amazing to know that the content that I create on this podcast resonates with people and that they really care about what I'm talking about. And it has some sort of impact or value to them in what they're trying to achieve. So I think that I would definitely love to continue that journey and to make sure that that I continue to create the podcast and continue to hopefully give other people motivation or inspiration or just a look at the cracks of my own business life and personal life and everything. Because I think it's often really understated how much it has a value to fail. I look at my youngest daughter, Nina, and, you know, she never read a book on how to walk, but she got up and she kind of tries to take a couple of steps, falls over. And it's just ruthless persistence and excitement to start to walk that pushes her to continually keep on falling over and to keep trying. And I would love for this podcast to do that to people who are thinking about changing things or thinking about building products or whatever it might be that is the thing for you, that it inspires you or just kind of says, you know what, it's a boat, and if other people are going through all the turmoil and I can relate to some sort of content, that's pretty awesome. And also, please, please, please feel free to grab me on Instagram or Twitter or anywhere that you can. Email me, text me, whatever that might be. Just to reach out and say, hey, I have these things that are going on. I'm trying to build a business too, or I'm trying to build a product or whatever it might be. And just to start the conversation. Because if there's one thing that I know for absolute certain, if you can be around like-minded or positive, great people, the chances and the probability of what you're going to do succeeding is greatly increased by the fact that you're surrounded with people who are pushing you, who are, you know, just kind of giving you that energy to go and to try and to push yourself, to challenge yourself. Because Lord knows, like we all know, it's difficult. Like it's properly difficult, but it's also something that we love to do. So, yeah, I guess that's enough digression and enough talking. So, the structure that I've changed the podcast into is that I thought it'd be good if we had some structure around it. And what do I do in MiniCorp and on a daily basis? I build digital products. So why don't I do a bit of a series around what that means to me and what are my learnings and what are the things that I've noticed to date? So this episode today is going to be around the person who is building the product. And I'm going to break it down by, you know, like passions and strengths and growth and how to motivate yourself and what even the tool, like your body, how to look after that and what that means and your mind and all of the stuff. Basically everything through all of the years that I've been doing this, what the standout parts of the person has meant to me. So that is going to be this episode. So let's get into the show. Okay, so I guess when you think about the person, I mean, even in MiniCorp, when we look at a new client or somebody who's coming to us with an idea, we've really broken down any new product or whether we should take it on into three main groups. There's first of all, group one, which is what is the idea? What's the ability for that idea to become successful in the market that it's going to be launched in? In, you know, the ability to get traction, all of that kind of stuff. What is the actual thing? Bucket number two is really the person or people, I guess. So who are the people who are founding this company? Who are the people who have, who is behind the idea? And what is their passion? What is their drive? What is their domain knowledge? How well did I know this industry and how well, you know, how much oomph did they have in them in order to take the idea and make it real? And bucket number three is the capabilities. So what sort of capabilities does the whole thing have? What sort of capabilities does the people have? Do they have great access to investors and mentors and other kind of people, advisors within the company? What is the actual capabilities of the team and of the product? And when you bring all three of those together, I think the ability for a product to become successful, especially early stage, is increased depending on the strength of those three categories, especially for me. So this episode is obviously around the person. And one thing I've noticed is it is 100% endurance. It is a hard, long slog. It's not like one of those, to use an analogy, it's not like a 5K race. It's not like something where you're trying to run as fast as you possibly can to complete the 5K race. It's more like an endurance. It's like a 100 kilometer race where it's step after step after step. And when you're 90 kilometers in, you're thinking about, am I able to make one more step? It's not about doing like a personal best or anything else. It's pure endurance. And in endurance, I think something that has always stood out for me is that you have these peaks and these troughs. You have these periods of time where you're like, yeah, this is amazing. Everything that I thought possible is deadly. This idea is succeeding. I am on cloud nine. This is awesome. And then you have these other trough periods where you're like, God, this is hard. Like, should I stop? Am I doing, is this right? Maybe I'm just mad. Does anyone else think I'm mad? And you're just questioning everything. And you kind of have this up and down and up and down. I've heard this described recently where life, you know, if you looked at your heartbeat on a cardiogram, it would be beep, 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 beep with the up and the down. And that means that you're alive versus if you didn't have the beep, beep, the up and the down, then you would just be dead. So even though it's yay and boo, you're still alive and it's endurance. Second of all is I wish that more people, more people really became self-aware. To understand yourself is an extremely undervalued characteristic. And I'm not talking about like how other people perceive you or what their opinions are on you. It's for you to really look inward and to ask yourself certain questions in order to figure out what type of person you are. What makes Brian Kenny, Brian Kenny? Why do I get up in the morning? You know, what are my strengths? What are my weaknesses? All of this kind of stuff. So one of the biggest things I would say to anybody is, first of all, to understand your passion. So, for example, in MiniCorp, I think we're 2 years in, and we decided to validate our product team. And so we came up with an idea called Popped, and it was a super simple wine subscription service. And the whole idea was people would come on, they would subscribe to the service, they'd pay, I think it was like 50 euros a month or something. We would ship them out 3 bottles of wine, and they would then go onto the application, get to read about where those 3 bottles came from, hear about Pablo, hear about his vineyard, all of that kind of stuff, and then they would rate the wine. And they'd say bottle one, it was about a 7 out of 10, bottle two, about a 5 out of 10, bottle three, really didn't like it, it was a 1 out of 10. And I think within the first 3 months, we got to like 5 or 6 grand in recurring revenue, and it was showing unreal growth. It was on a huge growth trajectory. But we looked at each other and we decided to shut it down. And the reason being is that we just didn't give a shit about wine. It wasn't that the idea wasn't great or that it could be successful. We just didn't care about wine. And we had the self-awareness to turn around to ourselves and say, if we went at this thing like properly and we were 1 year, 2 years into the idea, what would we feel like? Would we feel like we cannot wait to get up in the day? We can't wait to sell more wine, to get more people into our service. This is our way of really building a company and we love it. No, we'd hate that. And it would also, I think it would reflect in the company, in the culture, and how people see the people who are running the company. So it just has this huge negative impact. So I'd rather save myself the year and a half of getting into that whole, you know, questioning yourself period, and take a step back and say, do you know what? Let's just pause the popped thing. Let's close down that company. Let's continue about what we actually passionately care about instead. I think that you simply have to love what you do. When you really talk to somebody who is passionate about what they do, ask them questions like, if you removed money from the equation, as in you didn't have to worry about money at all, what would you do? And it's strange. I think I ask this question to people a little bit too much. So I'll be in the back of a taxi and I'll say, hey, if you got 2 million or 3 million tomorrow, what would you do? And I'm not talking about right now. I'm talking about after you go to Tahiti, after you've done Indonesia and you're kind of well tanned, you've had your whole year, you know, it's time to go back to Ireland and to do something. What would you do? And it's weird when you remove money from the equation, a lot of people tend to do things different than what they do right now. That taxi driver unequivocally told me that he would not drive a taxi. And I wonder for our society, I wonder for passion in general, what would our society look like if people did what they intimately cared about and what they were passionate about? Point number two on understanding yourself is know what your strengths and your weaknesses are, and don't wear a badge to say, you know, I can do everything. I'm the CEO or I'm the founder of this startup, and because I'm the founder, I can take it all on my back and I can run this company myself. I can do everything. It's such a crazy move to do that. First of all, you'll burn out. You'll become extremely unhealthy. You'll have a short-term plus within the company, but a long-term minus overall within the company. So please, please, please take the time to sit down with yourself and to ask yourselves, what am I really, really, really good at? And what am I just pants at? So for me, I've done engineering, I've done design. I'm not great at them. And so I understand that I'm, you know, maybe I'm a 4 out of 10 as an engineer. And maybe I'm a 6 out of 10 as a designer or whatever it might be. Maybe I'm a 7 or 8 out of 10 with people. And I kind of go through the different jobs that I do on a daily basis within MiniCorp. And I understand what I'm really good at and what I'm kind of weak at. And my priorities as, my priorities as the founder of the company is wherever I see weakness to solve that problem, to find somebody who will take that job, to find somebody who will plug that gap so that we become a fully proficient company, a company that is just strong all around. And I love that. I also take this from a perspective of, you know, I don't want anybody in our company to be excellent at payroll. And so we outsource payroll. I don't want anybody in our company to be excellent at cleaning the office. And so we moved to a WeWork where somebody else cleans the office for us. I want to remove everything that doesn't directly contribute to us becoming a stellar product agency. And I love that. Point three on understanding yourself is growth. Understand that you don't have all the answers and try to get yourself to a point where you can say, I know what I don't know. And it's like, try to be as humble as possible when you say that. That when you're in a meeting, I see this time and time again where somebody will say, this is how this is and this is how this is, and they leave absolutely no room for the possibility of them being wrong, or for somebody else to say, I don't really think that it is like that, or I think there's a way that you could get around that whole thing that you're just not seeing. For you to be, you know, pillar in the ground, I am standing tall and I am sure that there is absolutely no way that this is incorrect. I am 100% right. You will learn the hard way, as I have done, that just isn't the answer. For you to sit in front of people and to listen to their opinion and to know in your heart of heart that you don't know everything, and to allow the possibility of them to correct you and for them to have the answer that you don't, becomes this insane growth attribute to yourself. You end up starting to become this vast vat of knowledge, and it also contributes so heavily to the bottom line of the company or to the product that you're building, that it's a no-brainer. Honestly, your growth is killer. So out of understanding yourself and into another category, the next category for me is to understand how to motivate yourself. Because we talked about those kind of like the peaks and the troughs, right? The ups and the downs, that yay, I'm having a great day, boo, I'm having a shit day. So During the lulls or the periods where you're not having the best day in the world, you need from category A or from category one in self-awareness, you need to understand what motivates yourself. And when you're in like a really good state, to write down a couple of things that just get you fired up, motivated, and ready to roll. I do this all of the time and I love it. Because to understand what motivates you means that during any period of a lull, you can deploy these tactics and be straight back up again in no time. So for me, I draw heavily from, what would I call them? I guess like unobtainable mentors, like mentors from YouTube or from books or from podcasts. People like, so Dan Whitehead is one that I've become hugely infatuated with right now. He is a ultra trail runner, so he runs like I think a 100 kilometer plus trails just for fun, and I watch him on YouTube to see how his mindset is when he looks at endurance, like how does he push himself through the hard bits, how does he look like when he's at the end of 100 kilometers, when he's, you know, like really pushing himself. And I find that stuff extremely motivating, to see other people trying to motivate themselves. Other people like, who else am I watching right now? Ryan Serhant. So he's the guy from Million Dollar Listings New York, and big in the real estate business over there, but totally gets the differentiation between a company's brand and his own personal brand. He recently released a book, extremely humble person, but also an extremely motivated and really hungry to win and to succeed person. Other people are Klossy. I don't know if you've heard of Klossy. So she is a lady who is a model. But I think, yeah, I would definitely quantify her as a lot more than a model. She's on the fashion runways for all of the high-end, you know, Gucci's and couture brands. But she has this insane ability and hunger to give back to the world. So she set up a I don't know what you call it, a non-profit called Code with Klossy, where she helps young women to learn how to code and how to build things. She's active on YouTube. She's always trying to give back, to help with charities and things. She just Honestly, if my daughters grew up to have her same work ethic, but also outlook on the world where it's community driven, I'd be an extremely proud father. So learn what it means to motivate yourself, or learn what motivates you. Take note of it and write it down somewhere, stick it in your notes in your phone or something. And when you're having a pretty bad day, fire open those notes, find those motivational tactics, and just watch. Just sit down, like grab an ice cream, grab a cup of coffee, whatever. Sit down, watch a couple of episodes. It'll be no time till you're back thinking, let's take on the world again, which is deadly. Okay, the next point is your body. Your body is, well, this is something that I've only really learned recently. So to kind of take you on a bit of a journey, in at the start of January 2018, I could barely run like 2 kilometers, I think, without being completely out of breath, almost dead on the side of a road type of thing. And I started to get more and more and more fit and to run. And now I'm crazy into running, as pretty much anyone will tell you around my inner circle. And the reason that I run is for a lot of reasons. First of all, it's my FU time. It's the time where I kind of just have, I'm not taking my phone out of my pocket. I'm not reading my emails. I'm just literally, it's contemplation. And you're there thinking about the things that are going on in your day. And you're also thinking about the bad things that went wrong, but how you solve them. And it has this, excuse me, it has this strange ability for me to show mental clarity, or to show health in general. I don't know, I can see things a lot clearer. I can be motivated by it. And it just feels like, Think of it from like an athlete's point of view. What sort of a race or what sort of performance are you going to do if you have trained, nourished your body, and tried to take care of yourself as much as you possibly can? What sort of outcome is your race going to have? And I think it's the exact same for entrepreneurship. Sometimes you get, actually all the time, you get curveballs thrown at you. Things go wrong. Problems have to be solved, things have to get done, whatever it might be. And if you're ready to go, if your body is like, cool, yeah, no, I can take this, it's no problem. As long as you promise me we're getting good solid sleep at the end of this, let's do this. Then you're ready, like you're already kind of there. Versus, you know, if you're doing the 16-hour days every single day, it's only a matter of time before your body goes, enough. It's time, like I just enough. So looking after your body, looking after your health will have this huge knock-on effect to your performance in work, to make sure that you're driving the right results. Number two on this is your mind. And I think for me, your mind is something that you really need to take long-term care of. I've recently, well, when I say recently, I guess about a year now, taken up meditation. So every single morning when I jump on the train into work, I will meditate for about 10 minutes. And the first 3 months, I was like, this has no effect. What's going on? I'm just there thinking about my breathing and this is just nuts. But as I slowly, slowly looked at the patterns of how I was performing, both at home in my personal life and in business, the mental clarity that I had and the ability for me to focus on a task is hugely increased. And I'm really, really proud of that. I think this will have a huge effect in business in general. And what I think about is, so let's say you have Dan, and Dan drives a taxi, and Dan currently on his phone has the apps MyTaxi and Uber and Get. He has the 3 different taxi apps. But Dan, you know, what starts to happen in the world is that mindfulness becomes a stronger attribute, and Dan starts to practice it. And one day Dan will sit in his taxi and he will say, do I really need all 3 of these apps? Maybe if I just focus on Uber, or maybe if I focus on my taxi, I would get the same amount of work, but I would be more clear and focused in how I do my job. And so those other two apps get deleted. But yeah, so this is just crazy product things that go on in my head. I'm excited for meditation. I'm excited to really understand the difference between my limbic system and my frontal lobe, where the difference between the logical side of my brain and I'm just kind of my nervous system, really. For years, I've seen my nervous system as this thing that gets in the way. You know, it has my fear center. It tells me what I should and shouldn't do. But realistically, I now kind of visualize my nervous system as this big, huge rhino. And my frontal lobe can turn around and go, or my logical side of the brain will run over and try to tackle it and say, hey, you get in line. Like, come on, you're just a silly, dumb animal. You don't understand what's going on. But the rhino will just straight crush it. It will destroy that little logical side of your brain. And instead, I started to think of it as the logical, intelligent part of my brain looks at the rhino. Why doesn't it try to coerce the rhino into going the path that it wants to? You know, let me show you, rhino. Let me show you where we should go and why we should go there. And to train it and to teach it and to bring it on a journey. Not to fight against this huge force, but to coerce it and to train it, I think is a stronger way. Yeah, and I guess like from your mind's point of view and from a product point of view, understand what it means to focus. So when you pick up your phone, what do you do in your phone? Do you really work or do you go on Instagram? Do you go on YouTube? And really start to get a good conscious understanding of where your time is being spent and all of the different streams of information that your mind is getting right now. Does it need them all? You know, can we curtail that? Can we bring it back a bit? And I guess that kind of fits into the self-awareness piece. Yeah, so they are my main points for the person right now. So I hope you really enjoyed that. Next up will be the actual product or thinking about the product. And I think, you know, there's obviously a lot more to the person. This is just thinking about it from one individual's point of view. I'll do another episode at some point around team dynamics and especially the stables and volatiles. So you'll see, for instance, if you look at Apple, you would have had Steve Jobs, who would be a volatile person, you know, somebody who will just go with the whatever way his mind is thinking right now. He is spontaneous. He's passionate. He's hungry. He rarely would fit into rules. So he would be a complete volatile. And then you look at the other side of it, which is Tim Cook. Tim Cook would be a complete stable. So somebody who is very to-do list orientated and calendar centric and making sure that strategy is huge, understands where he's going and how he's going to achieve his vision. When you have a stable and a volatile together as two co-founders, amazing things happen. When you have two stables or when you have two volatiles, things can often break really, really hard. So I'll get into that maybe in the next episode. I'll structure together the whole building of product series in a better way and go from there. Okay, thank you very much for listening. I hope you enjoyed it and see you all in the next one. Peace.